Would you please join me now in our prayer for illumination? Lord God, as we come before you this morning, we know that you love us, and we know that you give us hope. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be with us now as we open your word, and that you will strengthen our hope through what we read in your word today. So this morning, we're going to continue our new sermon series on the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel was written about 350 years before the time of Jesus. It was written either by Daniel himself or by someone who was very close to him. It was written to the Jewish exiles in Babylon to give them hope that the recent disaster of their deportation to Babylon was not the end, and that God was still in control. God had promised them that one day they would return to the Holy Land. There are at least three themes to the book of Daniel. The first is the sovereignty of God. The second is a reminder of God's faithfulness. And the third is prophecies, concerning future events. Today, we find that Daniel and his friends' lives are threatened by, of all things, a dream. And we see God's faithfulness in giving an interpretation of the dream to Daniel. And Daniel responds with gratitude of prayer and praise to God. So now, listen to the word of the Lord.
Please join me as we read from Daniel 2:1 through 23, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him, and sleep deserted him. So the king gave orders to summon the magicians, mediums and sorcerers and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream, and I am anxious to understand it." The Chaldeans spoke to the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king replied to the Chaldeans, "My word is final. If you don't tell me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a garbage dump. But if you make the dream and its interpretations known to me, you'll receive gifts, a reward, and a great honor from me. So make the dream and its interpretation known to me." They answered a second time, "May the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will make the interpretation." The king replied, "For I know for certain you are trying to gain some time because you see that my word is final. If you don't tell me the dream, there is one decree for you. You have conspired to tell me something false or fraudulent until the situation changes. So tell me the dream and I will know you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king, "No one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has asked anything like this of any magician, medium, or Chaldean. When the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods whose dwelling is not with the mortals." Because of this, the king then became violently angry and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree was issued that the wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them. Then Daniel responded with tact and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the king's officer, "Why is the decree from the king so harsh?" Then Arioch explained the situation to Daniel. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him some time so that he could give the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel praised the God of heavens and declared, "May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things, and he knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we have asked of you, for you have let us know the king's mystery. The New Testament reading is 1 Timothy 3:16. And most certainly, the mystery of godliness is great. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Myra. So there's an old Chinese proverb that says, may you live in interesting times. Some have said it's a blessing. Others have said it's a curse. In the movie, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, based on a book by the same name, J.R.R. Tolkien writes about a scene where the hobbit, Frodo Baggins, slips into despair over his appointment to bear the evil ring of power and to ultimately destroy it. Frodo is speaking to the character Gandalf, and he says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had ever happened. And Gandalf replies, so do all those who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you. Like Frodo, Daniel lives in such times. Interesting times. This would be a good time for you to pull out your sermon notes. You can kind of follow along and see where we're going this morning. First, we're going to join a meeting between Nebuchadnezzar and his diviners. Next, we will see Daniel's faith and God's faithfulness. Then we're reminded that God delights in the prayers and praises of his children. Finally, even in the Old Testament book of Daniel, we find the God whose dwelling is with mortals, Jesus Christ. As our theme today is that when all hope is gone, God gives hope. So let's start out with Nebuchadnezzar and his diviners. You know, if you think about that, it kind of sounds like a musical group from the 50s, right? Nebuchadnezzar and his diviners. In the second year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. Now, in this time and in this culture, it was thought that the gods, including the one true God, the Holy One of Israel, communicated with people through dreams and visions. So the king calls his magicians and mediums and sorcerers and Chaldeans, in other words, his diviners, to interpret the dream. But the king wouldn't tell them the dream. Instead, the king tells them, you have to tell me my dream and then interpret it for me. Now, there's probably some backstory of conflict between the king and his diviners here. Maybe the king didn't trust them, and he wanted to be able to identify the authentic diviners from the false ones. Or maybe he just wanted an excuse to get rid of them, a palace purge, if you will. The king says, this is my final word. This is my last best offer. If you don't tell me the dream, I'll have you torn limb from limb and your houses turned into garbage dumps. If you do tell me the interpretation of the dream, you'll receive gifts and rewards and honor from me. Now, the diviners push back, rather disrespectfully if you think about it, and they matter-of-factly state that the king tell them the dream and they will interpret. We see a further hint of the backstory of this underlying conflict between the king and his diviners when the king says, you're just trying to buy time, when you clearly see that my word is final. You're conspiring to tell me something false and fraudulent until the situation changes. Now, maybe they're thinking that the king will forget about this whole thing if they stall, Or maybe they're waiting on some kind of palace intrigue plot to remove the king. After all, it's only his second year in power, right? So the king tells them, "Tell me the dream, so that I will know that you are able to interpret." Finally, in exasperation, the Chaldeans respond logically. "No one on earth can meet the king's request. It's impossible." Now, the next statement is very important, and I want you to remember it because we're going to come back to it in a couple minutes. Verse 11, where the Chaldeans continue. "What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." Now, the king became so angry at this that he issued a decree that all the wise men be executed. The Chaldeans were not wizards or sorcerers, but they were people of a particular racial ethnic group that led and made up the majority of the wise men, who later became known as the Magi. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and probably others of the young men that we talked about last week from Judah and many other places around the Babylonian Empire, were being trained to be a part of this group. And the king, in his rash rage, has just ordered that all of his advisors and royal government workers be executed. But when all hope is gone, God gives hope. Now let's see Daniel's faith and God's faithfulness. So the king orders the captain of his royal household guard, Arioch, to execute all of the wise men in Babylon. But when Arioch came to Daniel, Daniel responded with tact and discretion. I'm telling you, Daniel could work at Chick-fil-A. Now Daniel asks why the king's decree was so harsh. And Arioch explains it to Daniel. And Daniel went to see the king. And in contrast to the pushy magicians, mediums, and sorcerers, and Chaldeans, Daniel tactfully and politely and discreetly asked for and received more time. And now we see Daniel's faith in God. Daniel went home and told Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah about the king's decree. And they all began to pray. They asked the God of heaven for mercy to give Daniel the dream and its meaning. Now remember from last week in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, Daniel also understood visions and dreams. That was a gift that he had been given by God. So that Daniel and his friends would not be executed with all of the rest. And God answered their prayers. God was faithful. The dream and its meaning were revealed to Daniel in a vision at night. So that night, God gave them the answer. Now remember, a vision occurs when one is awake, even though this particular vision's interpretation was received at night. Because when all hope is gone, God gives hope. And now we find that God delights in the prayers and praises of his children. Daniel's first response at being given the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself was to praise and thank God. What we have in verses 20 to 23 is actually a song, like Psalm 42, our call to worship, which we will sing as our closing hymn at the end of our service, and like the Song of Mary, which we'll be looking at during Advent. Now, there are at least two important themes to Daniel's sung prayer. The first is one of the themes of the book of Daniel, that God is sovereign, which means that God is in control, God has a plan, and in the end, God wins. Second, only God can reveal the mysteries of life, not magicians, mediums, or sorcerers. Here are a couple examples of this. In verse 20, Daniel praises God because he is eternal, powerful, and wise. In verse 21, Daniel praises God because God is in control of nations and he gives his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to us, to people. Daniel praises God in verse 22 because God reveals mysteries and God's light shines in the darkness. In verse 23, Daniel praises God because God is faithful to Daniel and to all those who follow God. Because Daniel has experienced that when all hope is gone, God gives hope. Now, in contrast to the fake and false gods, is the God whose dwelling is with mortals, Jesus Christ. Now, remember a few minutes ago, we found in Daniel chapter 2, verse 11, that the Chaldeans claimed that the dwelling of the gods was not with mortals, and they were right. The gods of the Babylonians were simply pieces of wood and stone, which were empowered by demons. But over Daniel's lifetime, the one true God, the Holy One of Israel, would reveal to Daniel that he is a God who would one day dwell with mortals. And Daniel would share that understanding with the people around him. And it would be passed down from generation to generation. And in a few months, at Christmas time, we will celebrate the advent of that promise. As our New Testament reading tells us, and you know, I noticed something when I was looking at this. There's a lot of places in the New Testament where chapter 3, verse 16 is very profound. As you read through the Bible, just note that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And most certainly, the mystery of godliness is great. He was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. He is the God whose dwelling is with mortals, Jesus Christ. And not only did he significantly move in the life of Daniel and walk the earth 2,000 years ago, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is moving in our lives right here, right now. Well, like the Chinese proverb, each of us may find ourselves living in interesting times. Maybe our interesting time is an illness that we ourselves experience. Or maybe it's the illness or the death of a loved one. Or maybe it's the experience of watching a wayward loved one just create a mess of their life. And while, like Frodo Baggins, each of us may wish that none of this had ever happened, each of us is reminded that so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for us to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that has been given to us. But we are also reminded that the God who dwells with mortals gives us hope. He is a God whose Spirit shines his hope in the darkness of our interesting times. Because when all hope is gone, God gives us hope. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, remind us as we go through this week, and as we experience problems and things that depress us and that cause us to be unhappy. We pray that we will remember that you give us hope. We pray, Lord, that that hope will infuse our lives with a love for you and a gratitude to you for all of the many blessings that you have given us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.